Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. Columba's Deira Volga, here in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. As once again, with restrictions, we're not able to gather in person in our building, so everyone is online this morning. It's been a great combination over the last number of weeks to have people gathered in-house, if you like, and also online. But today, we're all, many of you are sitting in the comfort of your own home as we gather together. That distance does not distract the fact or the purpose for what we've come for today, which is to worship a God who is alive and who is well and who is at work in his world today. What a piece of scripture that I hold dear to my heart. It was spoken over me whenever I was training for theological college, actually, in a moment whenever it was kind of implied that maybe I didn't know enough about the scriptures, or maybe I wasn't learned enough, if you like, about how to critique the scriptures. And someone spoke this scripture over me. It comes from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you've revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure." That the Lord is the revealer of mysteries. We continue our series in Daniel today, Faith Under Fire. And that phrase, revealer of mysteries, will come up again and again as we travel through our service today. He reveals the mysteries around us and to us. We open our hearts that we might hear his voice today. As we begin, we use a collect for this second Sunday after the Epiphany. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your heavenly glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so we gather today. We come together today in the name of Christ to offer our praise and our thanksgiving, to hear and receive his holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Coming before a God who is full of grace and mercy, we come before his throne, a throne of grace, a place that we can fall on our face and our knees, recognizing who he is, what he has done for us, and our need of his mercy and his forgiveness. As we say together, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We've done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing. Cleanse us from our sin. Renew your right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins. Restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Wonderful that we can join together. It's wonderful, the technology advanced in such a way that we can do this in our own homes and we can continue to meet together. And the beauty continues, as we say whenever we're in person, the scriptures being read over us is a beautiful moment as God's people gather together. And we can do that again now. And we're going to use the Psalm pointer for today, which is Psalm 139. But this is actually very special at the moment. Because not only are we speaking it over ourselves whenever we normally would gather together, but in this moment, you're speaking it over your home, your house, your family, your street. Often here in Deira Volga, we pray for our streets, the streets that we walk our dogs on, we buy our milk on, we go to work on, we take our exercise on. In this moment, we can speak God's word, his living and active word, over our homes, the streets, the roads, the cul-de-sacs that we live in. So we only say this by alternate verse. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. It's a wonderful psalm, encouraging us that God is still sovereign and in control. There is nowhere that we can flee from his presence, that he is present with you right now, where you are in your circumstance and in your situation. How he works that through for you may be different for each one of us. What we learn as we walk through that will be different for each one of us. If you think back to, I think it was Christmas Day that I talked about this. In our house, we love to play games, board games. And on Christmas, we always purchase a new game that we play that particular year, or not all year, every day, or whatever, you know what I mean. But we play it for that Christmas Day, and then we continue to play it thereafter. But one of my favourite games in our house is a card game, and it's called Uno. I don't know if you've ever played Uno. I did say on Christmas Day as well that there's lots of competition in our house. I'm not the competitive one, obviously. But there's lots of competition going on in our house. Sometimes people are called out that they may be trying to cheat a little bit to make sure that they win. We'll mention no names from our house. You might be culpable for that. But Uno is a wonderful game. There's lots of challenges in it. But the thing about Uno is this. You can't really play it by yourself. This card's a blue number 3. But it needs all the other cards to be able to play with it. It needs other players to be able to play with me. Otherwise, it doesn't really work. It's a 2+ player game. We can't flee from God's presence. He's always with us. Our lives are not alone. But actually, God didn't design us to go through life alone either. And we continue to see this as we travel through Daniel. Daniel and his 3 friends were to do life together, to look out for each other, to hold each other up, to pray for each other, to encourage each other, to walk alongside each other. I wonder, who are you doing that for? And who's doing that for you? Why not take a moment today, send a text or a message or an email or a phone call and say thank you for a friendship. Say thank you for those who are walking alongside you. You just never know. It might be the encouragement that they need today. So we're going to hear God's word read for us from Daniel chapter 2.
Our reading this morning is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 to 3, and then continuing at verse 24. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown the king Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen.
Thank you to Sarah for reading for us today. You'll notice over the next couple of weeks with our current restrictions of how many are allowed to be in the building as we stream our services, and also in a sense to ensure that there is enough people always here in case one of us needs to self-isolate for any reason, people will be taking part in the service in different ways over the next couple of weeks to ensure that we can continue to do what it is that we do and do it to the best that we can do it. Faith Under Fire. This is our series on Daniel. Today, as you heard, we're in chapter 2. And if you are able to put your hand on a Bible at the moment, that would be really helpful today because chapter 2 is a long chapter. And so Sarah only read some of it, but we'll be dipping into some of the bits that she didn't read. So if you're able to put your hands on a Bible or flick it up on a phone or whatever way you want to do that, that would be fantastic because it will help us as we look at this chapter today. Remember last week, which was our first week, whenever they stood firm, Daniel and his friends, whenever they stood firm and they looked up and they walked with God, things began to happen. And we finished with, you don't need to be stuck or feel overwhelmed or believe that things can't change. The circumstances around Daniel as the nation of Israel was in exile under the superpower of the day, the circumstances of the day for Daniel and the nation of Israel in exile, taken away by the superpower of the day, the Babylonians, got there in the end, the Babylonians, they could have crumbled under those situations, those circumstances, and many did, but Daniel and his friends didn't because they knew they didn't have to be stuck or feel overwhelmed or believe that things couldn't change because they were walking with God and they knew that whenever you walk with God, things can happen. So today, our running title, if you like, is Ultimate Triumph. How often have you heard this statement? If only I had known. How often have you heard that? If only I had known. If only I had known that that was going to happen, I probably wouldn't have done it. If only I had known that my car wasn't going to start, I would have got out earlier so that I could have made preparations for it. If only, if only, if only, if only. We love hindsight because we can look back and see things that we didn't see in the moment. We'd all love to see the big picture. Well, this chapter today begins to show us part of the big picture. It just doesn't show Daniel part of the big picture, but it shows us part of the big picture as well. That God ultimately triumphs over evil. But sometimes in the moment, we can't see that. Sometimes in the circumstances that are around us, we miss that. And sometimes we look back and think, if only I had known that's what God was going to do with me, then it would have been okay. Dreams, they're very powerful things, aren't they? Some vivid, some are a bit misty, some are downright horrible. Some feel really, really real. I know there's some nights that I wake up in the middle of the night, sit bolt upright in bed. I have also been known to get out of bed in the belief that I am in my dream is real, that the house is flooding and I need to get my family out was one instance recently. But some dreams are also forgotten really quickly. Even though you know that you've spent time dreaming, you forget what it was that you were dreaming about. See, this chapter 2 is about a dream, really. The king has had a dream. Not that kind of, I have a dream kind of moment. He's had a dream. And this tyrant is making demands. Chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, verse 5. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I had firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. He wanted something, and he wanted it now. These astrologers then in verse 7 tried to say, let the king tell his servants a dream and we will interpret it. Then the king answered, I am certain that you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you don't tell me the dream, and he goes on again that there's going to be a penalty and consequences if they don't tell him. Now, note, he wants them to say what his dream was, the details of it, and then explain it to him. Now, in verse 10, the astrologers say, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. Now, the astrologers know that it's impossible. And I'm pretty sure, it's not written in the text, but I would imagine that the king knew it was impossible as well. That's why he had called his wisest astrologers and enchanters and magicians, because those are the people who were supposed to be able to do this. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. Either the king knew what his dream was, and he's playing a game with the astrologers, and he's saying, you tell me the details of the dream so I know that you're really good. Or he'd completely forgotten what his dream was. It was one of those things that he knew he had dreamt, but he'd forgotten it. Lots of commentators believe that at this point in history, as they read the annals of history as well, alongside this book of Daniel, the king was a deeply troubled man. He knew that his empire was under attack, that it could crumble at any minute, and so he was suspicious of everything that was happening around him. And so he had dreamt something that he knew he had dreamt, but he couldn't remember what it was. So he's becoming anxious. A little bit nargy. He wanted to know it so he could be ready for whatever it was that was coming, maybe. Now, either way, that particular detail probably isn't important to see the bigger picture of what's going on in this chapter. Because Daniel now enters the fray. And let's look at Daniel's approach and what it was and what way he took it. And so we see it in verse 14. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, remember, Daniel is included in one of those at the moment, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a hard decree? Daniel wasn't aware at the moment, probably, by the sound of this. He wasn't even aware that the king had told the astrologers and the magicians, those wise people of his kingdom, that they were to be killed. And so he asked, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? What's going on that the king will want to kill everybody who is his advisor and those who have his ear? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and he asked for time so he might interpret the dream for him. Daniel didn't even know at this point what the dream was or if it was possible to interpret it. But he goes into the king, he puts his first step forward and he says, King, I can sort this out for you. He drew a line in the sand last week and it was noted by the king and by the officials. This week he's taking a step forward and it's being noticed by the king and by the officials. But if you look through verse 17 through to verse 18, you'll see that Daniel doesn't do this on his own. The minute he left the king, he returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel and his three friends, he wasn't doing this alone. And you can't do it alone either. Neither can I. We need our friends and our encouragers and our, if you like, our cheerleaders around us. Those who we know will hold us up, will pray for us, will encourage us, will walk with us. And often, maybe actually, those who we trust to speak into our lives and say, maybe you're not doing that quite right. We need our friends. But Daniel still gives God his rightful place. Daniel doesn't believe that it's him and his three friends who are going to sort this mess out. If you look at verse 19, you'll see that Daniel, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power is his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and he disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the discerning. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and I praise, O God, my Father." Yeah. Daniel gives God his rightful place because he knows that whenever he takes a stand, whenever he looks up, whenever he walks with God, things start to happen. And so Daniel's request for the freedom of his friends and himself, his line in the sand is beginning to have an effect, because actually, in verse 24, Daniel just doesn't simply say, "I can tell you the answer to your question, O king." Look at verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon. And he said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king and I will interpret his dream for him." And we can read on in that bit that Sarah read for us. But here's Daniel. He's now standing in the gap for all those astrologers and magicians, those people, in a sense, who were of a different culture from him, who were of a different space from him, and who had the ear of the king and who wanted the Babylonian empire to grow. Daniel wants to see of them. Daniel wants to stand in the gap for them because he knows he's doing what is right. There's going to be something in there for us today in our world, isn't there? So what did happen? Well, verse 26. Then the king asked Daniel, also Belshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream interpreted?" Daniel said, "No. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay in your bed are these." Now, note that's not actually that much different from the astrologers and the magicians way back in verse 10. They also said that there's no man alive on earth who can interpret it. That's exactly what Daniel said. Daniel said, no wise men, enchanters or magicians or diviners can explain what the king wants. But there is a God who can. There is a God who is the revealer of mysteries. And he is the one who can explain it to you. Daniel gives God his rightful place. Whilst telling and explaining the dream. And this dream, if you read on in chapter 2, this dream tells of the ups and downs, the rise and the fall of kingdoms. Now, it's all imagery, but those images can be traced back. It's the rise and the fall, the ups and the downs of kingdom, including the present kingdom of Babylon. The superpower of the day is included in this. And so what Daniel is now revealing to the king is that his dream was that his kingdom was going to fall. It might have been a nervous revelation for Daniel to bring. But Daniel knows that the revealer of mysteries, the living Lord, has something to say in this moment. And actually, there's a really important verse in the middle of all this. It's actually in verse 36. Let's look at it. This was the dream. And now we'll interpret to the king. You and the king and all the kings, the God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are the head of gold. Now, don't just miss that by thinking that that's where Nebuchadnezzar's place is in the dream, or in the rise and the fall of the kingdoms. The important part in those verses is that God is the one who has put Nebuchadnezzar in place. It's God who has placed him there. Do you remember from last week? This was all prophesied by Micah and by Jeremiah, by Isaiah. That the nation of Israel was going to go into exile as a consequence for the rebellion against God. God has put the kingdom of Babylon, the superpower of the day, in place to rule over his people because of the consequence of their actions. And so actually in the midst of all this, Daniel is turning to the most powerful man in all of the world in that moment. And he is saying, you're only there because God has put you there. And you're going to fall. That speaks of the ultimate triumph of the Lord. You can continue on and all the way through and see in verse 44, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. That's a prophetic voice right out into the future, the kingdom, the new kingdom that Jesus ushers in at his death on a cross. Yes, the book of Daniel is even speaking of future events. We're going to look more at that prophetic element to this chapter on Wednesday night in our life groups. I'd love you to sign up to that if you haven't already done so. You can do that on our Facebook page or on our website. And we take what we do on a Sunday just that little bit deeper and explain it and then discuss it in a number of little groups. You're not forced or to say anything if you don't want to, but it's just an opportunity to learn to travel through life together. I'd encourage you to be a part of that because we're going to take this prophetic element that little bit deeper as well on Wednesday night. But this Lord, this God is the revealer of mysteries. It's said at least three times in this chapter. Verse 19, verse 28 and verse 47. It's said in verse 19, whenever Daniel has revealed these things in the middle of the night, he says that the revealer of mysteries has given him the details. He then declares that in front of the king in verse 28, that the revealer, there is no wise man on this earth can do it, but there is a God in heaven who is the revealer of mysteries. And then later in verse 47, the king himself talks about the revealer of mysteries. There's a moment at the end of this chapter where it appears that the king is now giving God his rightful place. And we'll touch on that a little bit on Wednesday night as well. Is that just a moment of insanity from the king in his perspective? Or is this a heartfelt repentance towards the Lord? But the thing is this revealer of mysteries. The Lord can reveal mysteries to you that you've never known before. There's a prophetic element to his kingdom. There's a moment where in the spiritual realm, he speaks in to this physical realm and he divulges things to us. How do I know that? I think I find myself in those particular situations. Nothing special about me. But in those moments whenever I've been praying with someone or for something, there's a piece of information, a little fact, a face, a piece of knowledge that appears that I could not know about. And whenever I speak it over that person or ask them about it, there's maybe been no one else who has ever known about it or could know about it. But God revealed it in a moment. And that's not about me. That means that the door begins to open in that other individual's life where they're more open to what it is that God could do for them and with them. Because he's the revealer of mysteries. But actually, whenever Daniel came to him to have the mysteries revealed, he went to the quiet spaces. There's resonance there of what Jesus did as well, isn't there? Jesus went off to the quiet spots of solitude to be with his Father, to pray. We need to find those moments in the busyness of our lives, in the mix of everything that's going on, in the midst of lockdown, whenever our houses are maybe filled with families who are homeschooling or you're trying to work from home, you still need to find a quiet moment, a quiet space, and that may have to change for a season before you find that and how you find that. But you need to do it. I need to do it. Where's your quiet spot of solitude with the Lord that he might reveal the mysteries to you? This shows that God is sovereign. Daniel is led on, and this while he walks closely with God. And at the end of this chapter, in verses 46 and 47, the king, the superpower of the day, now begins to recognize that what Daniel has done, no one else is able to do because his God has revealed it to him. And so the story continues with Daniel and his friends being elevated to positions of influence. That's how this chapter finishes. Because they drew a line in the sand and they listened to God. They looked up, they stood firm, and they walked with God. And they had an effect on the world around them for the positive. I wonder, will you join me this week in looking up, standing firm, and walking closely with God? Amen. We were blessed at our harvest service last year to have Bishop Ken Clark, commonly known as Fanta, with us. Today, Fanta has very kindly agreed to do our intercessions and will lead us in a time of prayer.
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the sun goes down. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless and praise his holy name. Very familiar words, straight from one of the Psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In our prayers this morning, let us begin by thanking the Lord for all his benefits. Yes, for so many, 2020 was a very difficult, stretching, and harrowing year. But let's focus on a few things now for which we can thank the Lord. We can thank him for his faithfulness, whatever our circumstances. We can thank him that he's a God who can be trusted, whatever our circumstances. We can thank him that he's a God who keeps his promises, whatever our circumstances. Just in a few moments of silence, let us thank God now for three things. Lord, I just pray that you will bring to each of our minds those things for which you want us to be thankful today. Lord, from the bottom of our hearts, we say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of your creation that so often we take for granted. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder. Your power, Lord, is displayed throughout all your works. Lord, forgive me that too often I look but do not see. Forgive me that too often I focus on my own personal needs and miss out on the beauty of who you are and the glory of what you have made. Lord, fill our hearts today with a renewed spirit of thankfulness and gratitude, that in these first few days of the year 2021, no matter what it is that lies ahead, help us to trust you each step of the way with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us also in our prayers this morning pray for school principals, school teachers, the children at primary schools, the young people at secondary schools, those who've been facing exams and plans have been changed. Let us commit each one of them to you, Lord, this day, that in our schools, the staff and all who study there will know the strength of your presence with them. In incredibly difficult circumstances, may they know that you are with them. You, Lord Jesus, are the greatest teacher of all. And whether schools are on or off, whether plans stay fixed or plans changed. Help us, Lord Jesus, to worship you as our teacher and our Lord. And we pray, O God, your guidance for all involved in the world of education. And we commit our children to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let us also commit to the Lord all who have been bereaved recently, all who are ill and struggling with sickness at this time, be it COVID or another sickness. Lord, may each of those who come to our minds know your presence with them and your healing touch. In the precious and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As the new day dawns, Lord, we affirm our trust in you, our rock and our Redeemer, the light of the world. Amen.
So a big thank you to Fanta for doing that for us today. We're drawn to a close. We just want to remind you that lots of things are still online. So our children's ministry for primary school kids, DVK, happens every Friday night at 6:30. Or youth, Derevolgi Youth, happens every fortnight. They just met last Friday night, so they'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. They've just started, launched a new ministry and started a new programme of events. Our life groups meet, as I already said today, on a Wednesday night. There has been a couple of people who have consistently been worshipping with us online and who have never really been in person, if you like, and have asked maybe about a life group for them. So if that could be you, please do get in touch with me and we'll see what we can do if we get the right group of people. That would be absolutely fantastic to be able to do that. But I want to encourage you to stay safe and stay connected. Wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God, my Father. And so may the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who is the revealer of mysteries, be present with you and upon you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.